All right, good morning. If you would, turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew, chapter 8. I'm going to speak to you today in a topical fashion. And we want to read verse 12, Matthew 8, 12. Jesus is rebuking the children of Israel and that they had religion, but they really didn't believe what the truth and the tenets of what Moses was teaching about who he would be. And he speaks of how that many will come from different portions of the world and will sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But our verse says the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. And so that's a reference to the Jews who had not believed. And notice the verse. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When we were kids, we were most likely afraid of many things. One thing which most children are afraid of is the dark. Evil seems to hide in the shadows. Monsters come out in the dark of night, so we think. Darkness keeps us from seeing what is there and knowing what isn't there. Sinners like to hide in the cover of darkness. Much sin is committed at night. Don't you hate it when something goes bump in the night? That may well be that one of your fears is that you might become blind, abiding in the dark, to look and not be able to see. Are you afraid of the dark? Well, our text speaks of darkness. Not just darkness, but outer darkness. And this will be our consideration for today. The title of my message is simply that, Outer Darkness. Let's pray. God in heaven, we come before you today and we thank you for your love toward us and your mercy and the grace that we've received in and through Jesus Christ and how you saved us. And we ask if there's any here today who is not saved, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, grant unto them grace that they might be saved even today. And Lord, just cause us to take heed to your word. May we realize that many are lost. And Lord, their judgment is certain, lest there be repentance and faith in you. And we do pray for those who could not be here today due to sickness, providential hindrance. We ask that you bless each one according to your will. So we ask you today, God, as we come together in your name, to worship you in spirit and in truth, that you would set aside any thought and care of the world. Let there be no distraction. And may your spirit move in our midst today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for meeting with us. And so we ask you to touch each heart and meet every need as only you can. And we ask it for your sake and for your glory. So we do ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Talk to you about outer darkness today. And well, let me begin by giving you a description of hell. And I'm not going to look at all the references, and I didn't have space on the outline to give you all the verse references, but if I was going to describe hell to you, then I could turn you to these verses, but we would certainly think of hell being a furnace of fire. Matthew chapter 13, verse 42 tells us. Also in that text, and in another place, the hell is a place, not just a fire, but it's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. In our text, we read that hell is a place of outer darkness. In Mark chapter 9, verse 44, it talks of how that the worm dieth not. Over in Luke chapter 16, verse 24, it's called a place of torment. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, hell is called the second death. Matthew chapter 24, verse 51 says that it is a place with the hypocrites. I mean, that's where the hypocrites are. In Revelation chapter 21, in verse 8, you can read over there where hell is a place shared with many varied individuals, evil people, the abominable, the whoremongers, the adulterers, and fornicators, and liars, and so forth. They inhabit hell. And then Matthew chapter 25, in verse 41, says that hell is a place where the devils and his angels will be. I've heard on many occasions through my ministry, I'll run into somebody and they'll tell me that they don't mind about going to hell because they feel that they can just go to hell and have a party. And I'll go to hell and party down with my friends. Well, it's not going to be like that. We didn't look at those verses, but if you would just surmise from the description I've given you today, hell is not a very pretty place. And it's not a place that you want to go, and it's not a place where you're going to party down with your friends. Well, out of all that description, there is one which we have in our text today, and it is that issue of outer darkness. And I want to talk about outer darkness. That phrase is used three times in the New Testament scriptures, and it's found in our text. It's also found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 13, and then in Matthew chapter 25, and in verse 30, where it speaks of cast that individual into outer darkness. Outer darkness. Now, the word outer, that's in the language here, that's translated in the English as outer, in the original language in the Greek, means outer. It means exterior. It means external. It comes from a main root of a word that, which is an adverb, which means without, or to be out of doors, that which is outer. Now, you think of it in this way. We think of if you go into the forest, where you're into the woods, but if you go way into the woods, then you're deep into the woods, right? We think of if you're going to the ocean, you can get out and you get out into the ocean, and you can be right there near the shore, but get out there in the middle of the ocean, where there's nothing but water for hundreds and hundreds of miles, then you're way out, aren't you? In fact, we use that kind of terminology when we're talking about people. We say, well, they're kind of out there. In fact, they're way out there. We think of that, right? Or how about this? We think of you go into space, and then there's what's called deep space. There's a darkness, my friend, but there is an outer darkness. That which is further, that which is far off, that which is darker. And what we think is dark may not always be dark, but this is called outer darkness. So no matter what you think dark may be, in your opinion, in your definition, in your description, then just realize that this is an outer darkness. It's farther, it's deeper, it's blacker than anything we've ever known. That's the word outer, and of course darkness. Outer darkness. The word is a very common term in the New Testament. It is the word for darkness, like nightfall. It comes on, but it is the idea of darkness. It is the idea of gloom. It is used in the physical sense. It is used in the spiritual sense, and in a moral sense. You know, well, that person has a dark spirit, or that's the works of darkness, and so forth. But we have the statement here in the passage, and it is a description of hell, where these children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. Outer darkness. Now, there are many references I'm going to give you today, but so we just need to begin. First of all, as I've already expressed unto you, this is a description of hell. Turn, if you will, and to 2 Peter chapter 2, and keep a finger there in 2 Peter. Because when we go from there, we're going to go over to the book of Jude, and then we'll come back to 2 Peter, and then go back to Jude. So I'm helping you out here a little bit. Get a finger in 2 Peter, get a finger in Jude. And what you'll find is, as I've already mentioned to you, the outer darkness is a description of hell. We have a couple places referenced here. And there's a description given about the future of false prophets. And of course, that's their judgment in hell. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 17. The Word of God says, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest. Notice, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Keep your finger there. Go to the book of Jude. Look into Jude and look at verse 13. Again, speaking about false prophets, false teachers. They're raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, the verse says, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Could we equate the blackness of darkness with outer darkness? I think that would be a fair thing to say. The blackness of darkness. Keep your finger in Jude. Go back to 2 Peter. Not only is that the future home of false prophets and false teachers, but it is also the judgment that's reserved for angels. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 this time. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. And that's not the rest of the sentence, but you find that angels are reserved in chains of darkness. Now go back to Jude again and notice verse 6. Again, talking about the angels and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And so outer darkness, a description of hell, the mist of darkness, the black of darkness. So then if you would, turn if you to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I want to submit unto you that the judgment that comes upon those who enter into this type of judgment, into hell, is a judgment which is consistent with their condition. Now this will make sense as we look at these verses. Jesus is expressing a statement in regard to the religious leaders of the day. Luke chapter 22. Notice what he says in verse 53. He says, "When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Well, they were in the night. They came to arrest Jesus in the night. It was the power of darkness. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 12. Is it fitting then that the children of the kingdom should be cast out into outer darkness because they love the power of darkness? So when judgment comes in the form of darkness. It's consistent with their condition. Notice, if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to understand these things as the Scriptures express your present condition. John chapter 12, verse 35, the Scriptures tell us that lost men, those who are not saved, unbelievers, walk in darkness. John chapter 12, verse 35, the Scripture says, "Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you." Notice what he says, "For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." And now turn to 1 John chapter 2. You might want to keep a finger in John. I will be coming back there, not to that chapter, but to John. But 1 John chapter 2. And what we find is the religious leaders, they love the hour of darkness and the power of darkness. And lost men walk in darkness. As a matter of fact, this passage I've asked you to turn to, 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, tells us that lost men are in darkness. "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." You understand, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are in darkness. You say, "But wait a minute, I'm sitting here, the sun is shining, the lights are on, and I can see." Now, what are you talking about, darkness? It's a spiritual darkness, isn't it? You walk in darkness. You are in darkness. Back to John chapter 3. Keep a finger there in 1 John. John chapter 3, he says this, that men love darkness. In John 3:19, we love 16, that's a good thing, isn't it? "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a great verse, isn't it? But God didn't condemn the world, he didn't come in to condemn it, but he gave his life so that those who are saved could have eternal life. Verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Men love darkness rather than light. And so as we share the gospel, when we tell about Jesus Christ, do you know why they will not hear? Do you know why they will not believe? Because they're in darkness. They walk in darkness. And they love darkness. They don't want the light. They don't want to know. They don't want to know about their sin. They don't want to be reproved for that which they have committed against God. Men love darkness rather than light. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." How dreadful it is. And so a person can make a profession of faith. They can say they're in the light, but if they hate their brother, it isn't true, is it? They're in darkness. They walk in darkness. They're blinded, aren't they? So I submit unto you, when you read the Scriptures and you look at the description of hell and we find that part of hell is outer darkness, then such judgment is consistent with the condition of a lost person because that's what they love. That's what they chose. That's what they pursued after. I want to give you a few considerations of outer darkness. You're not going to find these in the Scriptures, but if you just think about the darkness and outer darkness, I would submit unto you, first of all, that if there's an outer darkness, and I believe that there is, and the Scripture defines that there is, in outer darkness, there is absolutely no light. Now, I don't know if we can really perceive that or not, but can you imagine absolutely no light? I mean, pitch black. Now, I would further submit unto you that this would indicate to me that there would not be a single blessing from God. You know, one of the greatest judgments of hell is being separated from God. Separated from the blessings of God. Well, I mean, sinner friend, you have to admit right now, God's been very good to you. And He reigns upon the just, upon the unjust. And He's provided food, and He provides health. And He has done so many great things for you. But do you understand, once you face the judgment and you dropped off into hell forever, you're not only in outer darkness, you're absolutely devoid of any blessing of God whatsoever for all eternity. We can't even comprehend that. There is absolutely no light. Not even a sliver. No light. And as we think about what darkness is and why it is we're afraid of the dark, you know what's involved in this? Secondly is, there is a fear of the unknown. Why are we afraid of the dark? Because of, well, we just don't really know what's there. Fear of the unknown. I would submit unto you in the third aspect that there is a fear of the unexpected. Don't you hate when you try to walk through your house at night and it's dark and you think you can navigate and you know where the furniture is and all that, and whack, you're right into the door frame. Now you thought you knew, but unexpectedly, you walk right into the thing. And you go, whoo, I should have turned on the light. Of course, you have plenty of stars up there shining for a little while, don't you, as you just hit your head. Well, you know what's fearful of the dark? Is never knowing what's going to happen. The unexpected. Somebody going to jump out at me? Some crazed maniac in my house, you know? And we're afraid of the dark. You see, there's absolutely no light in outer darkness. And I believe that the great fear, one of the greatest fears out there in that outer darkness is you don't know what's out there because you can't see anything. And you don't know what's going to happen because it's dark. You can't see. Everything would be unexpected, wouldn't it? In a fourth aspect, I would submit unto you that there is no hope for light. No matter how slight. Not only is it that it's absolutely dark, but there's no hope for light. Sometimes we can console ourselves by saying, well, you know, dawn's just around the corner, or somebody's going to find me, and, you know, these people that's been perhaps trapped under rubble or in a cave-in or something like that, I mean, it's pitch black down there, and that light shines. That, can you imagine the relief, you know, that first ray of light? When they open up the cave or they pull off the rubble and that first ray of light comes in. Can you imagine? Not in hell. Not for all eternity. There is no hope for light. And when you think about hell and the descriptions we read in the Scripture, you know what? There is real no communication, no companionship, absolute isolation. These people that say, well, I'm going to go down to hell and party with my friends. It's not going to happen. It's a place of judgment. It's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. They're not going to be talking over to you and saying, hey, how you doing today? It's not going to be like that at all. There's going to be an isolation. Pitch black, can't see. No companionship. And let me submit unto you in the last aspect in considering outer darkness. You know what? There's no escape. Forever. I know there are some people who believe, well, they can get prayed out of hell, or they can be down there long enough and they might be able to get out, but I'm telling you, there's no escape out of hell. And once you're cast into outer darkness, that's where you're going to be forever, in outer darkness. And you won't be able to see, you won't be able to know, that it's just a place of torment, a place of pain and turmoil and fear. Boy, I'll tell you, one can only imagine. You say, well, how in the world do you ever come up with such a depressing topic like this? Because last week I was able to imagine. So what are you talking about? When I went to Forestdale, Missouri, and I preached up there, I stayed with a family in the church, and they're great people, and they have a great house, and the accommodations were fantastic. But you know what? It isn't city living. And they gave me this room in the back of their place, and they're out in the country. And there are no street lights, and the moon wasn't out. And if it was, it wasn't very much. So, I mean, if you talk about turn off the light, I mean, it was dark. Now, I'm not used to that. I mean, I live in the city, and we can turn out all the lights. We have blinds on the windows. We don't have curtains or anything to shut out everything. But, you know, I can wake up any time in the night, and it only takes just a second or two, and my eyes adapt. And so I can probably navigate the house generally without whacking into the door frame because there's just enough light coming in. I always have a little clock radio right beside with numbers. Look up every time, see what time it is. Got the moon that comes into the light in the window. Got the street lights coming in all the time. You know, we think it's dark, but it's not really dark. I tell you, I turned out the light up there, and it was dark. Now, toward the window, there was just a slight glimpse of light coming, just a very light. And the moon must have been out, but it sure wasn't much. And I'm telling you, I turned out that light and I thought, man, it's dark. And I looked around and I looked over at the window, my eyes adjusting, just vague, vague light, other than that pitch black. I mean, you just have to imagine that. And you know what happened? The first night I was there, I woke up at about 1 o'clock. Strange place, strange room, by myself. I woke up and I was faced away from the window. And I'm not kidding you, I looked up and I could not see a blooming thing. I'm not used to that. I mean, it was pitch black. And I strained my eyes and I thought, man, I done went blind. It scared me to death. I'm not kidding you. My heart rate ran up. I started sweating. I really talk about a panic attack. I mean, I was petrified. I really was. And I thought, wow, and I thought, there's got to be a light here, you know, and I'm turning around and I saw just a sliver of light coming through those windows. You know, the second night I went to sleep up there, turned off a light, man, black. I intentionally faced the window because if I opened up my eyes, I'd see something. I've lived all my life with light coming in, you know. And this was black. You know, the second night, I was scared to turn off the light. You say, well, I'm a big sissy. Well, yeah, I might be. But I'll tell you, it was just the panic. And I woke up the second night. And I'd be faced away from the window. And I'd be panic-stricken because I know I'm looking, but I cannot see a single thing. And the rest of the week, boy, I mean, I forced myself to face that window because if I woke up, I wanted to see something. You know what? I was terrified of absolute darkness. Can you imagine hell? I mean, what would it be if you got up tonight in the middle of the night and you know you're looking? And you're blind. You cannot see a single thing. You think you'd be afraid? Think fear might grip you? I tell you, hell is outer darkness. We're not talking about a clock light where you can see. Or a sliver of moonlight coming in the shade. Hell is outer darkness. And if you're afraid of the dark now, sinner friend, you just wait. You say, you're trying to scare me. If I could scare you into heaven, I would. But I can't. But I can tell you the truth of the Scripture. And I can give you the definitions that the Bible gives us. And if that troubles your heart, then may God take that word and implant it deep in your soul where you'd be convicted of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. Because I'll tell you, hell is real. And outer darkness is real. And I got a sense of that just last week, just a fear of absolute darkness. I thought, wow, I can't even imagine what hell would be like. But as a result of that, I speak today on outer darkness. Is everything doom and gloom? No, absolutely not. The third part of my message is the deliverance from darkness. Isn't that the good thing? Aren't you glad to know you can be delivered from darkness? Lost people are in darkness. They walk in darkness. They love darkness. That's what we used to be before we were saved. But we've been saved, haven't we? Children of light, the Scripture says. There are four things I want to give to you when I think about deliverance from darkness. And we're just going to look at a host of Scriptures. If you don't want to turn to all these, I understand. You can write them down. Most of them are in the bulletin and on the outline there. You can look them up later if you wish. But there are four things I want to think about in deliverance from darkness. First of all, it's the opportunity. And I'm looking at Luke chapter 1. Book of Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 79. Talking about the coming of John the Baptist and his entrance into the world and into history and his purpose and all that. But there's a statement here that says in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. John was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he was a light that would come shining in the darkness. But notice, if you will, back to Matthew chapter 4. And again, these are... I'm just going to read these verses, and if you can write them down. But this speaks of Jesus' ministry. He came preaching in the area of Galilee, and it says, verse 16, Matthew 4, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Boy, isn't that a great opportunity? Didn't the children of Israel have an opportunity that no one else in the world ever had? Here comes John the Baptist. Here comes Jesus Christ preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and light shine in the darkness. That's what the Scripture says. Look over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. There's a statement here about John the Baptist that he was light, but he wasn't the great light. Notice what it says in verse 5 talking about Jesus Christ. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Jesus came, shone in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. You know, generally, we think of darkness and light, that if you go into a room, it's dark, you turn on a light switch, the darkness flees. Jesus came into the world, he was a light shining in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so physically, if you're blind, you can turn on the light all day long. You're still not going to see. Darkness does not comprehend it. And so those who are spiritually blind, light comes into the world, they still remain in darkness. But aren't you glad that light has come? That light has entered so that they might be able to see. Paul, in his expression over in Acts chapter 26, this speaks of Paul's ministry. Acts chapter 26, I'm going to read to you verse 18. This was God's word for Paul, and this is what he was supposed to do. Notice the description. To open their eyes, see, they were blind, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Aren't you glad, dear saved person, that you had your eyes open and that you've been turned from darkness to light? Listen to the rest of this description. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. I'm so glad that light has come into the world. I'm glad that in my darkness God shined forth His light so that I might see. There is opportunity. So, sinner friend, today, you in darkness, you walk in darkness, you love darkness, but there's an opportunity for you to get out of that darkness. Let me talk about that deliverance. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'd like for you to read this one and see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And then if you don't want to turn to the others, of course, you don't need to, but I want you to read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 6. Talking about Jesus Christ and the salvation He brought to him. It says in verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How marvelous is that, dear friend? Can you imagine when you were lost, you were undone, you were in darkness, and God commanded the light to shine out of that darkness, to brighten up our hearts? And we learned about Jesus Christ, and we were brought unto Him. There is deliverance out of darkness. You can be forgiven. Just like people who are physically blind might be able to see once again. Jesus healed many that were blind and gave them sight. Oh, He can do that in a spiritual sense. You're spiritually blind today. He can give you light. The light can shine in the darkness, and there is deliverance. Colossians chapter 1, listen if you will to verse 13. We're called the saints of light. And then it says, who hath delivered us, talking about Jesus and what He's done for us, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. If you're saved today, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, the kingdom of light. That's deliverance, isn't it? In 1 Peter, I'm going to read to you chapter 2, verse 9, where it talks about how we're called out. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him, notice, who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Aren't you glad you have light? Can you imagine if you were still spiritually blind, wandering around in the dark, trying to find an answer? And don't you realize that the multitudes out here are exactly like that, just wandering around? They have no hope. They have nothing to look forward to. They're just looking for some sort of comfort in this life. They don't know where to look. They're in darkness, aren't they? I'm glad we can be delivered. Light came in. And the world, even though at that time they rejected Jesus Christ, light entered into the world, and we can be delivered. John chapter 8, verse 12, speaking to those that are saved, Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a difference Christ makes. We have the light of life. John chapter 12, verse 46. You know, the believers just don't abide in darkness anymore. John 12, 46 says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. But if you're here today and you said, well, I don't know Jesus Christ, I don't care to know Jesus Christ, then you continually abide in darkness. And we're going to keep pointing you to the light, and we're going to keep telling you about the light. But I know it's God that's going to have to shine in your heart. We're going to tell you, and you need to seek it, you really do, that God would open up your heart and open up your mind that you might see. Oh, there is great darkness, and hell is outer darkness, but there is deliverance from darkness, and I'm one such testimony. And because of the opportunity that was there and the deliverance that I have, I'm a child of the light. Therefore, there's two things left I want to mention to you about the deliverance from darkness. The next thing is our position. John chapter 12, back in verse 36, the first part of that verse, he says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. As children of God, we're children of light. We're not children of darkness. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, if you wish. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 8. Ephesians 5, 8. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What a difference! No longer children of darkness, but children of light. A few more pages over, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 5. It says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Every one of us who are saved, you know what? The light shined in the darkness. We are not children of darkness anymore, but we're children of the day. Children of light. What a joy. God is the one that made the distinction. He's the one that made the difference. He's the one that saved us, opened up our eyes. Let the light shine in our hearts. That's the position that we have in Jesus Christ. You see, we had the opportunity, and then we've been delivered, and this is who we are. We are children of light. But that being the case, those of us who are saved, then there's a condition. That is our circumstance. What we ought to do and who we ought to be while we live in this world. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 is what I'm going to look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, just four verses here in reference to our condition. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. There's a great discussion here about the difference between lost and saved and the things of the devil and things of God. And notice as it says here in verse 14, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Notice the contrast. "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" Notice. "And what communion hath light with darkness?" What communion hath light with darkness? There is none, is there? They're completely distinct. Back to Romans chapter 13. What that means is, if I am a child of light, then I need to behave as a child of light. I need to live like a child of light. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. We're commended in the Scriptures here. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." We're children of light. Cast off the works of darkness. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be a change. There ought to be a sanctification being worked out in the heart of those of us who know Jesus Christ. Why? Because we once were dark, but now we're in the light. We once were blind, but now we see. And there's going to be a difference. And we need to cast off those works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Two places. One, Ephesians chapter 5. That's our condition. This is who we ought to be. Ephesians 5, verse 11 tells us, "And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." We who are children of the light should not partake of the works of darkness. We who are of the light should reprove the works of darkness. And that's why the world hates Christians. Because we'll stand and we'll say, "That is wrong. No, we will not do that. No, God is not pleased with that." And that's a condemnation to those who are in the dark. And they hate God and they hate God's people and they hate the truth. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the last thing about our condition, and there are many other references, but we just didn't really have time to give you an endless supply of verses. Notice in verse 12, Ephesians chapter 6, about our condition, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers," notice, "against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Turn, if you will, back to Ephesians chapter 2, and then I'm reaching a conclusion. Talk to you today about outer darkness. Outer darkness is a description of hell. Just one of the aspects. But I do believe that it's a judgment that's consistent with the condition of those who have sinned against God. And I've mentioned to you about some of the thoughts in regard to outer darkness, and you know, there just really will be no deliverance, and there is just great fear attached with outer darkness. But the good news is before you die, there's opportunity because Christ came into the world. You can be delivered. If you'll repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. And then, of course, that makes us children of light. We're no longer children of darkness. And as a result, we ought to live a life that's consistent with who we are. Hell is a fearful place, and you need to fear it. It's not a joke, and it's not a laughing matter. Outer darkness is real. So in conclusion, I've asked you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, just a few things and I'm finished. Those who believe were once lost. You understand that? Those of us who are here, we say, well, we're children of light. Light shined in the darkness. And we're glad for that. But we once were lost, weren't we? We once were dead. We once were blind. We once were in darkness. We've already mentioned that in the Scriptures. But here in the text, in Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 2, as Paul reminds the Ephesian believers of what they used to be. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Yes, I'm a child of light today, but I used to be a child of darkness. And the only difference was Jesus Christ, not anything in me. But I'm glad that I'm saved. And the reason I'm saved is because of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who has transformed us. So you look at verse 1, Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Man, just pick up that analogy of being dead. Imagine how dark it would be to be in a casket under the ground. That's darkness, isn't it? And woe be it, there's actually been some people that's been buried alive. Can you imagine the fear when they woke up in that enclosed space in absolute darkness, had no idea where they were? Can you just imagine that? And that doesn't even come close to hell. Now, we used to be like that, but He brought us to life. How wonderful that is. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved. Brought us to life. Let the light shine in our hearts. So you notice verse 8 and verse 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'll tell you, my friend, Jesus is the only Savior. He's the only one that can have the light shine in your heart. And I point you to Jesus today. He alone can save you. But the last thing is this, as I conclude. You who are unbelief are still in darkness. Now, you might not want to accept that. You might not want to believe that. But the truth is, biblically, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, you're in darkness. And there is much to be concerned about. And you shall remain in that darkness unless you repent. You'll stay in darkness. The sad thing is, your judgment will be in darkness. Because if you die lost, you will be cast into outer darkness. And outer darkness is just a part of hell. Just a part. I'll tell you, you should be afraid. You really should. Because God is true. And His Word is true. And sin is real. And judgment is real. We who are saved are children of the light. We've been forgiven. We've been brought from darkness to light. You're here and you're lost. Jesus is your only answer. You say, I'm just not interested in it. I'm going to put it off. Well, men love darkness rather than light. I'm not all that surprised. But you need Him. Oh, that you'd be saved today. And you better be afraid. Because it's real. Outer darkness. Sinner, would you be saved today? Christian, would you rejoice in the salvation you have? That you need not fear outer darkness? Well, I'll tell you, God's been so gracious to us, hasn't He? What a joy. So we rejoice in the salvation He's given to us, and we plead with those that are lost that they might be saved today. Brother Paul, would you please come? Let's stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation right where you are. You can know Jesus Christ. Right where you are, you can turn to Him. You can believe on Him. You can have eternal life. He can transform you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous light right where you are. Are you saved today? Do you know Jesus? If not, would you be? And if you are saved, would you just rejoice in that? Thank God for the salvation He's given to you, that you need not fear the dark. I'll tell you, we ought to be thanking God for what He's done for us. Well, to Him be the glory. Father, thank You for the day. Bless Your Word. Overcome my frailty of speech so that the Word would be unhindered to every heart. We pray for those who are lost, especially that You would convict them, draw them to Jesus, command the light to shine in their darkness, that they'd be saved today. And we'll rejoice with You. And Father, we pray for those of us who are saved that, Lord, we just thank You. Help us to realize that we are new people in Christ and we need to live a life that is honoring to You. Let us walk in the light. As He is in the light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?